certain kinds of advertising, I think, are always going to be viewed as luxury dollars for a company to spend. And I definitely think blogs or Instagram would easily be considered luxury spending money by most companies. And so when times like this happen, I've lost all the collaborations I had, and the works have been canceled for the time being.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Small Business Storytellers. This podcast is for you if you see business as a tool for making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, I'll be your host, and one of my biggest passions is learning from businesses who are growing without losing their authenticity. On season two, we are learning about how to thrive in times of crisis as we learn from businesses who have been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. I am super excited for this conversation because it's with a good friend of mine, Laura. Well, I'll say such a good friend that her name in my phone is still incorrect. We've been friends for long enough that you are still Laura Johnson in my phone.
10 years, man.
I know. But anyway, so we're talking with Laura Pitcher, the owner of the Bucket List Narratives. And I'll let her explain that more. But just kind of a reminder, this is a unique conversation in context of the coronavirus pandemic. And in this season of our podcast, I wanted to bring on a diversity of business owners that can talk about how is this pandemic taking a toll, and how is this impacting our business, and what can we do to move forward through this so that business owners that are being impacted by this know that we are not alone. Like, we're in this together and we're going to make it through this together. So, Laura, thank you for joining me today.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It's good to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. Laura and I met as a freshman in college.
Mm-hmm.
We went through a couple.
Oral Roberts University.
Yep, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We went through a couple phases where we enjoyed being friends and did not enjoy being friends in college. But we have.
Well, that's how all the best friendships start. Like, who actually really likes their friends that actually like those relationships last, you know?
It's true. So over the years, most of the times when I'm in Dallas, I have gotten to see Laura and her husband, David, and it's been a lot of fun. But I love getting to talk today about what you do, because it's so unique and awesome and tied in with your passion for Disney. So
yes,
tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So my name is Laura Pitcher, and usually when people ask what I do, I say travel writing, because I think it has a little less of a stigma than blogging. They don't feel like I'm going to try to sell them flat tummy tea. And I started the Bucket List Narratives about 7 years ago. And it started just as kind of a place to put my thoughts on travel down and my photos. And then people started reading it, noticed that we go to Disney a lot, and started asking for kind of Disney advice, because it's kind of a massive undertaking to plan that kind of trip. And so now it's probably about 50% Disney parks planning and 50% travel. And occasionally I'll throw in some home renovation stuff or whatever I feel like that day.
Right. So, like, I mean, is this like a blog, like, you know, are like 10 people reading your blog every week, or like, you know, I give some perspective for like, how many people are regularly coming to learn about Disney stuff from you?
We're pretty lucky. We have about 50,000 monthly readers, and then we have around 400,000 monthly Pinterest viewers, and we're doing fairly well on Instagram too. We have about 64,000-ish followers, and so we've been really lucky that people have cared what we're doing over the years.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's such a niche audience. So
there's also no good way to talk about numbers without feeling like you sound like a jerk. You're like, oh, I have this much. And you're like, oh.
Well, I'm glad that you said those, because I want people to know that, like, you're not just like a stay-at-home wife who loves Disney. Like, this is a business. And like, you figured out, like, this is like something that people have, like, you're putting out information and people have resonated with it, and it's grown into something that's sustainable. So how did your passion for this, how did it go from blog to business?
Well, I always loved writing growing up. I ran a couple of magazines in high school through like the two different high schools that I went to. And I always thought I would probably become a journalist, but all of my journalist teachers told me I made too many pop culture references. And since I wasn't ready to stop referencing the Kardashians. I studied ministry in college instead. And somehow it kind of went full circle back to blogging. And so since I loved writing so much, blogging felt like a really natural outlet. I've always loved travel. My husband loves travel. We started doing it when we were both really broke and really young. So we got married at 21. So we had no money and we were still traveling the world. And we just learned so much great information that I wanted to put it out there. So a blog kind of felt like a natural medium for that. I actually never really thought about making it into a business just because that wasn't how my brain worked. And then when it started growing, one of our good friends that runs a media agency called My High Creative actually came in and kind of turned it into a business.
That's awesome. And so was that through like business collaborations and sponsorships? Like, how do you guys make money?
We've made money a lot of different ways over the years, and it's always changing and it's always evolving. So the first time we ever started making money at it, we had a couple of really great companies that were in the Disney community that were paying us to be on our website, and they would have like banner space. And that's kind of how we got into the world of making money through blogging. And after that, we decided to start a retail store, which we had open for about 3 years. And that was the bulk of our income for a while with blogging. People that just really connected to what we did and wanted to buy merchandise. And then I kind of lost my passion for the retail world maybe a year ago and decided to shut it down. It was just getting stressful and not fun. And I didn't want travel to ever be something that was stressful and not fun. Right. So now we make the bulk of our money on like paid collaborations for like one Instagram post or a series of Instagram stories or a blog or something like that. So kind of more like one-off collaborations instead of long-term deals.
Okay, cool. Do you know what Club 33 is?
I do know what Club 33 is, and I know that you got to go, and I kind of hate you for it because I'm sure you didn't appreciate it as much as I would have.
I've never been to a Disney park.
Yeah, you're just making it worse, Seth.
I've never been
to a Disney park. I hate Disney movies.
I actually love Disney. I am a Disney Plus subscriber. I love Disney. I love how they do business. I'm looking at my bookshelf with a few different Disney executive books up there right now. Like, they're very much a business that I love, and I look forward to going to Disney. But maybe like 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, before I started StoryOn, I was at a conference, and I was kind of like shadowing this person at a conference who was like one of the big wigs of the conference. Like, he was helping to plan it. And then, he was like, "Hey, some friends are going to take us to this spot for dinner tonight. It's called Club 33." And I was like, "Okay, cool. Sounds good. I don't know what it is." He's like, "It's supposed to be this really, like, supposedly, it's this like invite only, like members only fancy dining restaurant inside of Disneyland." And
yeah,
I can't remember the numbers, but it was like, you have to be on a waiting list for many years, and then you have to pay tens of thousands of dollars to activate your membership, and then you have to pay membership dues each year.
And it's not like the food is free. Like, you're still paying a lot of money for food too.
So I was like, okay, this sounds like kind of cool. Like, a Disney restaurant and stuff. And the rumor that I've heard is that it was like a private club that Walt Disney made for his investors at Disney.
I've heard a lot of different rumors about that. I've heard that. I've heard that he used it. I mean, he had an apartment over on Main Street too. So,
okay. Yeah. So anyway, long story short, my only experience, like, I will never have, like, it can only go downhill from here as far as my Disney experience, because the only time I ever went to Disney, we showed up in a car. We drove up and they checked to make sure our name was on a list. And then our name was on this list and they escorted us. They gave us free tickets. They escorted us into the park. We didn't get to go on any of the rides or anything. They passed us on to another cast member who checked our names again, who escorted us through the park to this door with a little 33 on it. Opened up and they like checked our name again on a list, and then we were escorted like up past like things that were in Mary Poppins and all these memorabilia things that were in the original Disney movies, And then we sat down and it was like a $190 plate meal. That was one of the best meals of my life. And these people just paid for it all. They like rented out that they reserved the whole restaurant. And I very much did not know what I was sitting in. And I remember texting like my cousin. I texted a few people that I know that loved
me. No, you texted me.
I probably texted you. And I was like, is this a big deal?
I know. And I was so mad. I was reading it to David. And I'm like, Seth just asked if Club 33 is a big deal. I'm like, whatever. I'm going to have dinner with the I almost said the president. I'm going to have dinner with Justin Trudeau. And is that a big deal?
Yeah. So I I'll probably never get to go back again, but I hope that you get to go one day.
Gotten to do so many cool things at Disney at this point that I'm just like, you know, if I don't get to do any more, like I'm fine. It's already such like a privileged thing, like to get to write about Disney, that it's just like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that's awesome. And you'll get there one day. And maybe if I'm lucky, I'll get back, but I kind of accidentally stumbled into that. So I would love to ask you, like, what are some of the best like Disney tips that people don't think about that?
Oh my goodness.
You should know this to have a great Disney experience. Like these tips take your Disney experience from like an 8 to a 10.
I think what's always craziest to me is that people don't go into it with a plan. Like, Walt Disney World is the size of San Francisco. It's huge. And there's so much to do. And so many people, like, they go to Disney every year and they know exactly what they're going to do. So I've seen people that, like, there's two families that are, like, in my mind particularly. And I helped both of them plan their trips. And one family didn't follow any of my advice at all and they hated it, and the other family like followed it like the Bible and they loved it. And I think the biggest thing is people think they can just show up at the parks and like it'll be fun, but there's nothing fun about being hot and sweaty and standing in a 100-minute line and going to multiple restaurants and then telling you need a reservation and you didn't make one.
Right.
So if you plan, like literally just, it doesn't even have to be my advice or my plans that you follow, but there's so many resources out there. And if you just make a plan, you know, if you make fast passes, which are these things you can like reserve at Walt Disney World ahead of time, if you make your dining reservations ahead of time, if you know where you're going and when you're going there, you'll have a lot more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's pretty true for most things in life. And I think that's a good transition to the next question, which is, and we usually, things go better when we have a plan. Mm-hmm. We were talking before we hit record and you had a plan for the next handful of months of what business was going to look like and what collaborations you were going to do and stuff.
Yes.
And then last week, all hell broke loose with coronavirus.
I know. Like, I feel like we're living in the first 10 minutes of Contagion.
Yeah. So like pretty much, I mean, right now, our country is virtually on quarantine.
It's on pause.
Yeah, it's just on pause. And like the economy has been affected. So many businesses have been affected. How is this, even though you've had a plan for the next few months, how is this throwing a wrench in those plans for you?
Well, that's the thing is certain kinds of advertising, I think, are always going to be viewed as luxury dollars for a company to spend. And I definitely think blogs or Instagram would easily be considered luxury spending money by most companies. And so when times like this happen, I've lost, I think, 4 or 5, maybe 6, I'd have to go back and count, but all the collaborations I had in the works have been canceled for the time being. And they're not like put on pause, they're just canceled. And I think that it's a good thing that they're doing it, like objectively, because I think it would be a really bad flex for a company to have Instagrammers posting about their company, because it just sounds kind of tone deaf to all the hurt that people are feeling right now. Mm-hmm. And but I think that's one of the things with my business is you never know how much money you're going to make a month. Like it fluctuates and then stuff like this happens and it can just all kind of get shut down. And so it's uncharted territory, that's for sure.
How are you responding to that? Like, are you kind of just waiting it out, or like, what do you think the next few months actually look like for you?
I'm really lucky because my husband and I don't rely on my income as our sole income. Like, it's not something that we do together. for our sole income. So we still have my husband's job, and he has a really good job as an engineer. And then I do a couple of other things as well. I always say I get bored easily, and I've been kind of shifting the blog this year. So I'm doing it more part-time just to really ensure that I still love it and still want to do it, mm-hmm. and that it doesn't feel too much like work. So I have some other streams of income through some marketing contracts that I do. Like, I contract out services helping companies with marketing. And so I will be able to kind of wait out the storm a little, at least for a few months. I feel really bad for people that this is all their eggs are in one basket. Their husbands have quit their jobs to, you know, work on it with them. And it's just kind of dried up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're kind of, I'm sure you have other friends in the like influencer space where they're, you know, making money through their audience online.
Yeah.
I mean, how is this affecting kind of the influencer community as a whole?
Well, I think it's kind of the influencer community as a whole gets a really bad rap and a really bad reputation. It's kind of like a joke at this point. And I definitely understand where it comes from. But at the same time, like, I think that what's interesting to me, at least, and this is like my inner feminist that's going to come out, but there's so many women that are in the influencer like marketing realm, and they're really redefining what marketing and advertising looks like in our nation. And it's kind of funny that they get put to the side as just like sharing their outfits or sharing their skincare or whatever, when they're making some really serious money and really changing the way that companies are spending ad dollars, which I think is fabulous. But also, it is kind of a platform where you are more scrutinized. And so influencers are kind of in this tough position right now, where do they keep posting about their outfits and hoping people click on affiliate links when we're in the middle of a pandemic, because that looks insensitive. But if they don't, how do they make money?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of an impossible situation. So for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's I'm just like really the student in me that's kind of obsessed with just watching like how communication trends and marketing trends evolve.
Yeah,
is really curious to just see how things go over the next few months, because
it's such a new industry.
Yeah, it is. And in one sense, I could see, like in general, influencer marketing is probably still pretty underpriced. Like, most people mm-hmm. don't understand the value of it.
Yeah.
And so in one sense, like in a time, I don't know if people want to call this a recession or not yet, but in a time of crisis, a lot of people say, cut all advertising, like cut all costs. And a lot of other people say spend more on advertising, like double down. So
yeah.
I'm sure that some people will double down on their influencer and online ads costs.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how that's perceived. Is that perceived as tone deaf?
That's what I think is going to be so interesting, because I've only posted once. I posted last Saturday, and I was actually just posted something about my church, because I have felt like it would be insensitive for me to be posting my regular content when the world has changed so drastically. And I think it's different for everyone and what they feel comfortable with. But I think for me, it just felt incredibly tone deaf for me to keep posting all these like happy travel pictures from around the world when travel is shut down and people are worried about their livelihood or their family members. So.
Yeah. How do you see this kind of just like, how is this affecting the community that you live in?
Yeah, I think it'll honestly be more of a test to see what the lasting power of this kind of marketing is. I was actually on the phone with, I've worked a few times with the Anaheim Tourism Board, and they're just fantastic. And we were on the phone a couple months ago just talking about Instagram and social media in general, and actually like Instagram engagement across the board, like the number of people that are looking at things and liking things and engaging with things is just, I think it's something like, I want to say 40% down. I think that that's a trend we're going to keep seeing, to be honest, is, I think Instagram is just a platform that people don't like engaging with as much anymore, because it doesn't make them really feel good about their lives a lot of times. And so I think it'll be interesting to see if influencer marketing is something that lasts and keeps going, past, you know, 2 years from now, especially with stuff like this happening and just kind of the way people spend ad money changing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a natural like people are beginning to distrust the content that social platforms deliver to them more because everything's so integrated with ads and stuff. And so, you know, if I'm scrolling through Instagram or Facebook, there's a little bit of like, I don't know if I'm really getting the picture of what's going on, or like,
yeah.
I don't know
well,
if
you're,
I'm really
you're not.
It. Yeah.
Like it's such like a small, and I think that's why I think you see a lot of influencers becoming disenchanted with the world too. And that's one of the reasons that I stopped doing it full time, just because it was really weighing on me, where I was like, there's so much going on in the world. And I was like, and what I'm presenting is not always the truth of the world. I mean, it's what people want. There's like a pressure to show people what they want to see and these like pretty beautiful pictures. But at the same time, there's a weight, at least on people like me with my personality type, where I was like, am I okay making money by making people feel bad about their lives? Like I'm posting this beautiful travel picture in sweatpants and people assume I'm there, but like really it was taken 6 months ago and I'm like, I haven't changed clothes or moved all day, but it's not what people see.
Hmm. How are you coming to grips with that? Like, what do you, in, I mean, if this lasts for several months, as a lot of people are saying it might, like, how is that gonna, have you started thinking about how that's going to affect just how you market, how you post, how you message stuff?
I don't know if anyone that's in this realm really knows the correct way to adjust what they're doing, because when you're putting stuff on the internet, I think people feel very emboldened on the internet to be mean. And so if you just keep posting your normal content, then people think you're insensitive. But if you start posting relevant content to what's really going on in the world, they think that, you know, you're contributing to the negativity that's out there. So that's actually something I haven't answered yet. And I just haven't been posting this past week because I haven't been sure what the right move to make is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be, again, it's going to be interesting to see just how it all plays out for a lot of different industries. I think it's very much going to, thought of the phrase desperation breeds inspiration. And even like, you know, a hilarious example was I was at my pretty much for the last week, like I really haven't seen anybody other than family. I've gone from my car or my house to my car to my private office and back every day and stuff. Yeah. And so I was at my brother and sister-in-law's house last night, and my 8-year-old nephew he told me before, earlier in the day, hey, bring some money. I'm opening up a store. And what is this?
Yeah.
So we get there and he like turned his whole room into a shop, and he's like selling old baseball cards and stuffed animals and stuff. And I mean, he's been cooped up. He's an 8-year-old and he's been cooped up for 3 days, not knowing what to do and trying to figure out creative ways to spend his time. And sure, it's like a micro example of starting a business, but it's like, you have this 8-year-old who can't go to sports practice, who can't watch sports on TV, the things he loves. So he's like, well, I'm going to make some more money and stuff. And so in one sense, I absolutely think in the next few months, like that people are going to figure out new ways to survive, new ways to make money, new businesses are going to come out of this because we're desperate.
Well, I think if I had to make bets on what's going to happen, and I'm actually really excited about this, is I think that, you know, like we talked about, most of these people in this Instagram blogging influencing sphere are women, and a lot of them much bigger than I am, much bigger audiences than I'll ever have really been running these businesses like they're CEOs, and they're also the head of their own marketing department, and they're the ones figuring out PR. And those are such valuable skills. And I think before, we've had a lot of big companies that, at least in my experience, they want to pay them to advertise for them, but they don't want to take the real life experience they've had and count it as something that could be put on a resume to give them a seat at their table to like help make decisions and help figure out what is the best way to advertise in the future. But I think that with the world changing so much right now and so much uncertainty, that they're going to need fresh ideas from people that have had experience on the internet. And I think a lot of these bigger influencers are actually going to be working for companies eventually in kind of a marketing, like, title.
Yeah, that's an interesting prediction for sure. What's just like some advice or encouragement that you'd have for listeners that they're being hit by this thing, like their business is being stretched, they're having those hard conversations with employees, and they're wondering maybe this is even the last month that they're in business. What would your encouragement be to them?
Am I allowed to say something spiritual, or is cliche?
You say what is authentic to you, whether it's spiritual or anti-spiritual. I want to hear Laura Pitcher's.
Yeah. So my my pastor has been doing Instagram lives every day, kind of through this thing, and I wrote down a couple of things he said the other day. He said peace isn't found in calm waters; peace is found in Jesus. And the second thing he said is, there's never been a storm didn't have an expiration date. And I think for me, the main ways I've been finding peace is just holding on to the fact that, like, you know, God has not failed yet. Like, these circumstances might seem like really overwhelming and like, what am I going to do financially? But there's never been a situation where I trusted God and he didn't come through. And I know that like might sound really cliche with everything that's been happening, but it's just for me, like as a Christian, like I'm in a place where I serve someone else trustworthy time and time again. And so I think it's pretty easy for me to have peace about what's coming right now, just because it's like, well, he hasn't failed yet, so I don't think he's going to start now. And then if anything, I'm always excited about possibility. I'm always excited about figuring out new ways to innovate. And I think that just all the doors that are going to open in the next year for people that have these kind of marketing experience, even if it's not on a social media platform or a blog, I think it's going to be really big if people are willing to stay open and flexible with what they're doing. I don't know if that answered your question. Maybe.
No, it's great. And yeah, I just think it's important that people are taking in input and advice and encouragement from other people and stuff. So, any last parting words with our audience? Our audience is mostly business owners, marketers, people that are building things to have more freedom for their future. Any parting words before we jump off this podcast, Laura?
I think the number one thing I would tell myself when starting my own business is nobody will ever believe in you except for yourself until you're successful. So I think it's human nature to really want people to catch the vision of what we're going to do. But it's also, I think, human nature for people to be like, that's probably going to fail. And so at the end of the day, like, you're the one that believes that it's going to be successful. And then once it is successful, other people will believe in it too. But you have to have like enough in you that believes that it's going to work, like, on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I think it's amazing. As the penguins say in Madagascar, smile and wave. You could just got to be confident.
Smile and wave.
But for real, like, confidence is, it's just so, so important. I've heard others say that sales is just a transfer of confidence. And that if you don't have that confidence in what you're selling or what you're doing and what you're building and what you're bringing to the world and value, then that's not going to transfer over to the other person. Like, you have to have the belief and confidence in yourself. So I think that's
great. Yeah. It's like that Tom Sawyer mentality. You have to convince somebody else that it's a good idea and that you're giving them the privilege of working with you.
There you go. That's awesome. Well, Laura, thanks so much for joining us on the Small Business Storytellers. Hopefully you're able to travel in coming months.
I know, right? I'm supposed to be in Hawaii right now.
Yeah. How did you have to just cancel a bunch of trips that you were supposed to go on?
Well, it's my 30th birthday Tuesday, so we're supposed to be in Maui, and we're not, which is fine. Like, travel is such like a luxury thing. We haven't canceled anything else yet. We're not supposed to go anywhere till mid-May. And I feel like the one thing I would encourage other travelers is like, figure out what your cancellation policy is, but then just kind of hold tight, because we're all kind of in unprecedented times and we just don't know what's going to happen. So there's no need to cancel a year's worth of travel when we have no idea what things are going to look like.
Yeah, that's great advice for everybody traveling. So happy birthday to you, Laura.
Thank you for joining. Thank you.
Do you want to grow an online brand that is profitable and authentic? Do you know that you have a ton of great ideas for content that you want to create, but you need accountability and strategy? Do you want to grow online, but online marketing just seems overwhelming? If your answer is yes to any of these questions, then I want to personally invite you to join our private marketing community, successwithstories.com. Success with Stories is the premier community for purpose-driven businesses committed to growing online by marketing with stories. Inside of successwithstories.com, you will learn how to create online content that converts, how to build a connection with your audience that outlasts any crisis, and most importantly, you're going to learn how to grow your business in a way that feels authentic to you. So, for a limited time, we're giving you access to our community for 50% off. What? It's true, for 50% off. Now, you might be asking why. And the reason is because, honestly, right now in 2020, things are a bit crazy and unpredictable for all businesses. And so we think it's really important to show you how you can build a crisis-proof online brand. So head to www.successwithstories.com to join Success with Stories today. Don't wait another day. We'll see you inside of Success with Stories.